Hey, just a second. I got to finish an announcement for one of my sponsors.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. It's Lund's Grocery Store.
Oh, yes.
They have about a half dozen here in the Twin Cities, the greatest grocery stores in America.
They're excellent. They are.
How do you know? Don't wink at me. Hey, talking about the spices, though. Canned and bottled and boxed herbs and spices, they run into thousands at Lund's. Thousands. Relatively inexpensive, too, when you think of the distance they travel. Wars were fought over spices, and we just take them for granted, especially if you're a Lund shopper. Incidentally, in at the Lund stores right now are some garlic braids. You ever had garlic braids?
No. Short braids, I've heard of.
Well, it's enough garlic to last you a lifetime if you live to be 90 or... Are you going to retire?
Garlic's very good for you.
It is?
Yeah, it's supposed to be. I read that.
So it'll be good for a cold or what?
Well, it keeps people away with colds. It keeps everybody away.
Yeah, right.
If somebody has a cold, it keeps them far enough away and they don't get it.
Bob Newhart, where'd you get that jacket?
This is, you know, that's one of the reasons I came here. You know, I mean, the Olsons are nice to work for, but I have all these heavy clothes and I never get a chance to wear them in California, so I figured I'd take some dates in the frigid north.
Uh-huh. Did you sleep late this morning? When'd you get in town?
Got in about 6 o'clock last night from L.A.
Oh, yeah. Turn around, will you? Overlooking, they have some fans in there. That's Carol Govenda, the receptionist with her grandchild there.
Oh,
she
great.
Has 14 grandchildren.
You're kidding.
No, really. It's good to see you again. Hey,
so wonder she's standing up. She has 14.
Oh, yeah. You want to take off your jacket?
All right.
I'm hot as heck here. Those lights are for a little television clip we're going to do with Bill Carlson of our sister station, CCO Television. And this lady over there, hey, get that cart. You got that cart there ready? Will you, Dick? Listen now, Mr. Newhart, and I'm going to test you and see how good your memory is.
Okay.
Tell me which comedy bits these little phrases come from. Okay, let's hear the first one.
You'd be smiling and easygoing if you were gassed all the time.
All right,
the retirement party.
The retirement party. All right, I have another one here for you now. Which comedy bit is this from?
This is something a lot of the schools leave out that we think is pretty. You're going too fast, Mrs. Webb.
That's the driving.
The driving instructor. Yeah. When did I first play that here on CCO?
Well, you know what happened? I was I made the album in February of 1960 at the Tidelands in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Warner Brothers when they thought it would be coming out, and they said they thought April 1st it would break in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to be April, it got to be the middle of April, and I kept saying, my friends keep asking, when's the album coming out?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're shipping every available album we have up to Minneapolis, because Howard Viken broke the album and is going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me they were publicizing the times a driving instructor would be played. And
mm-hmm.
So it really broke, you broke the album. It broke here in Minneapolis.
Well, I'm trying to remember how many copies were sold. Was it, they remember 14,000 in the first week or two
is
weeks.
Is that right?
I never heard that.
There was one guy, he apparently got burned once with an earlier album of somebody's, and he would only order... he'd ordered two,
mm-hmm.
and he'd sell one. He had the other in the window,
mm-hmm.
and every time he sold one, then he'd close up the shop and drive down and pick up another one. He wasn't about to get burned again.
That's not true. That's a Bob Newhart joke.
No, somebody told me that. No.
Okay, so you had
He's
driving.
Very cautious.
And then you made about five or six albums total?
Yeah,
about six albums.
Yeah, counting the ones that are, include some of the old routines. Six or seven, yeah.
Yeah. Do you see Dan Sorkin
I haven't seen Danny in, 3 or 4 years. But he was a guy who really got it all going. He was the one who convinced Warner Brothers to do it. And it really changed my life. And it really was...
Well, Dan Sorkin said this in the back of one of your first albums. He says, Bob is a true craftsman in every sense of the word. His approach to humor is clean... as modern as tomorrow's newspaper, and funny as hell. If you pass him on the street, you will very likely not recognize him. Unless you notice his two Afghan hounds, his red silk beret, his harlequin sunglasses, or the fact that he is 9 feet tall. Welcome to the wonderful zoo of Bob Newhart. by That's Don Danny. Sorkin.
That's Danny.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Joey Lewis
Dan Sorkin. Yeah.
Once said that I look like a salesman for the Watchtower. Which is as good a description as any, I guess.
Well, you said one of your warm-ups, maybe use it tonight at the Carlton. When you walk out and stage there, you say something like, quoting you now, you say, "Walking up here, I couldn't help hearing that murmur that went through when you first saw me. Don't worry, it always happens. There's two reasons for it. First, a lot of you are frankly surprised that I'm not very tall. Actually, as some of you may know, I used to be an accountant, and this is just about as tall as an average accountant gets. And the second reason is that most of you really never realize just how handsome I am."
That sounds like me, yeah.
Hey, in your new show now, that it's getting great raves by all the critics, and CBS are very happy with, just called Newhart.
Newhart. We had a national contest for that.
For the title.
I think Florida came up with the title, and we flew them out, and they had spent two weeks at the house with me, and finally got them out of the house. They wouldn't leave after the end of the 2 weeks, and it got kind of ugly. We had to call the police in, and, you know.
You're not 9 feet tall.
No, I'm 5'8". An accountant 5'10" is like, we call him Wilt, you know.
Yeah. You don't make any effort on your TV series to hide the fact that you're not 9 feet tall, do you?
Well, when I said that, I was 5'8", and I think I'm probably around 5'7" now.
Yeah. You know how it is? The years go by.
My wife keeps telling me that. I mean, she keeps saying, someone will say, "How tall are you?" I say, 5'8", like I'm filling out a form. You know? Mm-hmm. She'll say, "You're not 5'8".
How tall is your wife?
She's 5'4".
You've had the same wife for some time?
Yeah.
A long time. Don't say it that way.
Don't get me upset now. No, we've been married 20 years, and it's just, when it's right, it's great.
Well, that's unusual, especially you live in Hollywood.
Well, you know, comedians, I was on the Carson show the other night. Comedians tend to have marriages that last a long time. I mean, of all performers. Well, first of all, we're not matinee idols, so there's no one clawing at us most of the time. But I think humor has a lot to do with it. I mean, if you can't laugh, you know, mm-hmm. I think it has a way of keeping the whole thing together.
Laugh at your wife or yourself?
At both.
Hey, and you said that to Johnny Carson? What did he say?
Yeah, he was a fairly noncommittal.
He's because there's rumors.
Yes, he has some
rumors going around.
Domestic problems right now, and I don't think he wanted to say anything that could be used in court against him.
Hey, you have mentioned my name, and you mentioned my name and WCCO countless times, like
that's
in the Johnny Carson show,
yeah.
And over the years. And a terrific article in TV Guide magazine just a short time ago. We want to thank you for it.
Well,
and we figure it's kind of unusual because so many people, when they get involved when they achieve celebrity status that you have, you kind of forget the people back in the cornfields of Minnesota.
Well, no, I have very fond memories of Freddy's.
Oh, Freddy's Cafe.
Freddy's Cafe. Pete. And Pete, that was, the album broke and I was playing here and everything was going well and I got a call to go in and do the Emmy Award show.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Pete and he said, yeah. And he said, we'll close down for 2 nights and you fly in, do the Emmy Award show and then fly back. I did it with Mike and Elaine were on it. And they were doing a spoof of a shampoo commercial and mm-hmm. the program was sponsored by Clairol or somebody. And they got in a fight, and Mike and Elaine said, well, if we can't do our routine, we're not going to be on the show. So they mm-hmm. came to me, and they said, do you have another routine that you could do instead of the one? I think I was doing Abe Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, they said it has to do with television. I said, well, it's kind of tenuous, I said, but I think I can get into it. So I wound up doing the Submarine Commander. So I wound up doing those two on the Emmy Awards in 1960.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Pete Corrales at Freddy's could seat about at the most 300 people.
It was a great club.
Oh, yes, it was.
Great club.
Then I had a fire. Yeah. Hey, the material on your comedy album is... I played the driving instructor for the first time here yesterday, all the way through. And these young people here and our staff, you know, here at the station, I don't think they had heard it before. They were in stitches back here in the offices because they're listening to it and they never heard it before. No. Why does it seem that your comedy, your type of stuff, never seems to go out of style or age?
Somebody else would have to answer that. I don't know. Because I guess it deals with people, and people remain basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice feeling. I occasionally someone will come up to me in their middle 30s and say, "Do you mind, my mom and dad used to play, you know, your album all the time is your favorite." And I must have been two, I guess, when I first heard it. And I guess they think they're paying me a compliment.
Yes, I know. It mixed emotions, don't you? Sure. I used to listen to you, Howard, and used to play Newhart's Driving Instructor. Yeah, these are my children here. Hey, what's your opinion, Bob, of Saturday Night Live type of humor?
Well, see, I like all kinds of humor. I when they were terrible, they were awful. But when they were good, they were better than anything on. And I guess you have to let them. You have to let them be bad. They did some marvelous things, mm-hmm. and there has to be. There has to be a form for that kind of thing. There has to be SCTV. I think they do wonderfully inventive things,
mm-hmm.
and Saturday Night Live and those people.
You have any personal comedy favorites? Comedians?
Well, I've got to say Rickles, because it may get back to him.
Yeah, I know. You're close friends, aren't you?
Actually, he's not my favorite, but I have to say it.
Yeah.
No, there are many comedians I love. I love to watch Don, of course. I love to watch Buddy, Shecky Green. Benny, to me, was the epitome of... I've been likened to him, and that's about as nice a compliment as you can be paid. He was as nice a man as he was.
Somebody will always say, because you use the telephone quite often, did you pick that up from Shelley Berman?
I think Shelley tends to think that.
And yet your driving instructor bit is not using a telephone.
There actually aren't that many. I think if I ever did it and listened to all the albums, I think there's something like 45 routines. I don't think more than 8 or 10 are involved the telephone. But somehow I got identified,
mm-hmm.
identified with it. But before that, I mean, Shelley had obviously done telephone routines. George Jessel used to do telephone routines. And one of the earliest records ever made was a thing called Cohen on the Telephone. So it's been around for a long time.
Myron Cohen. Was it Myron Cohen on the telephone?
No, it was a thing. Very scratchy. I heard it one time. Very scratchy. I mean, it was like one of the first 10 albums, records ever made, and it was a thing called Cohen on the Telephone.
You do any writing for your Newhart show now, Monday nights?
Oh, I've suggested a couple stories, story ideas. I leave it up to them, because they're awfully good. They're good writers.
They say this article in TV Guide said that you run a very tight ship.
Well...
Are you easy to work with?
Well, I was kind of glad. I think I'm easy to work with, but I don't like a lot of tension on the set. I mean, I don't think you can do it when you're doing comedy. I know of shows where the male lead doesn't talk to the female lead, and I don't know how you do a show like that, you know. And you hear these stories, especially out on the coast, that so-and-so on Dynasty doesn't talk to so-and-so. And I mean, it's hard enough to do comedy anyway, but why complicate it by the tensions and fights, you know?
Tom Poston, whose idea to have him on the show?
Well, when we...
Did you have any say in it?
Oh, sure, yeah. I went... when we were casting all the parts, I went and read maybe 10 people for every part, and mm-hmm. I read with each one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Tom, of course, I'd worked with. Tom is gold. You go to Tom whenever you mm-hmm. need a laugh, you know, because
sure.
he's a pro.
Don Knotts?
Oh, Don's a dear friend, yeah.
Yeah. Can you hang around a while?
Sure.
I got to
sure.
take a break here. I forgot Bill Anderson. Let's call in.
We did that for a reason. We didn't want to be compared with Fawlty Towers, the English show, which mm-hmm. was so good with John mm-hmm. Cleese. But I think you're going to see some more guests checking in.
You're a writer in the show.
I write.
What kind of a writer?
How-to books. How to cover your patio and
Tom Poston.
How to build your own lawn furniture, that kind of thing.
Well, Tom Poston was looking, wanted a hammer. The last episode.
From New York, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted a hammer. And then he finally fixed the dryer, and it was the wash machine that needed the fixing. What's the name of the guy who has the cafe?
His name is Kirk. We think it's Kirk. We're not sure, because he's a habitual liar, so we never know when he's telling us the truth.
This is the Howard Viking Show coming from WCCO, St. Paul in Minneapolis, where we have kind of cloudy skies and a temperature right around 35 degrees. And the way Bob Newhart came in today, you'd think it was 40 below zero.
Well, it was a nice compliment. They said, what time would you like to do Howard Show? And I said, well, how about 12? And they said, no, they got a farm report at 12. So so apparently I rank somewhere below a farm report.
That's right, yeah. You just keep working at it and you'll make that farm show.
I'll know I made it. When they preempt the farm show for me to do an interview with you, then I'll know I'm...
Oh, yeah, they're important people, wonderful people. Were you born a farm, any chance? You're from Chicago?
Chicago.
From Chicago. Are you still a CPA?
See, I was never CPA.
Oh, you weren't?
Well, you have to take a test for that.
And I remember...
And there was no way I could have passed that test.
Yeah, you figured if you were in $2-3 of it, that was okay. What comedy routine do you get most requests to repeat?
There are probably four. Driving instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Walter Raleigh. School for bus drivers.
How about the retirement party?
The retirement party, those four.
Yeah.
I happen to love Abe Lincoln. That's one of the first ones I ever wrote.
I see. And, of course, all Navy veterans who love to hear the USS Codfish.
Submarine commander, yeah.
Yeah, the submarine commander, yeah. All right, man, let's hear it for the cooks. We aren't going to surface until we hear it for the cooks.
Well, you know, that was a thing on... I was in the Army, and that predated the Peter Principle, but somehow in huge organizations like the Navy and Army and Air Force, totally incompetent people can rise 3 or 4 ranks above where they should be. And,
oh, yeah.
And this is kind of a guy who obviously should never have gotten command of a submarine.
Sure, we had one second lieutenant from North Carolina. Geez, he was the nicest guy as soon as we were going into combat, but, you know, afterward, why, what a dink. Oh, jeez, I tell you. Hey, Robert, do you have are seats available still for your shows at the Carlton? Tonight and tomorrow night.
Two tonight and two tomorrow.
8 p.m. And 11 p.m. both nights. Tickets are still available. Phone the Carlton at 854-9300. You're here for just the two nights. What do you do? You have a rehearsal now?
I go back, fly back Sunday, then we're off Monday, and then I start back doing the show Tuesday through Friday.
You can do, five shows in 4 days?
That's just for one show.
You're kidding.
Yeah, you think we make that up, Howard?
Hell yeah, yes.
You radio people, we got to have makeup and they got to hang lights and all that stuff.
Yes.
We have to know the words.
Yeah.
We got a live audience out there.
Is it live?
Oh, sure.
Because sometimes the laughter is so spontaneous, like it is here in the studio right now, that I was suspicious a couple times.
I know, that is a problem that we've been fighting all year, and we tried, I don't know how many things. There's a lack of presence from the audience. They sound like they're 50 feet away. And it has to do with the height of the sets, and it's something we're gonna correct. But it's all done in front of a live audience. I wouldn't do it any other way.
Are these studios near your house? Where do you live?
I live in right across from UCLA.
Oh, yeah. You drive to work?
Drive to work, yeah. Take a different route every day.
Hey, you play golf? You take a different route every day.
I do. Well, see, it's the same studio where I did the Bob Newhart show, and I made that trip for 6 years, so I kind of tricked myself into going there, you know, I'll take Coldwater, then I'll take Beverly Glen, then I'll go Laurel Canyon. I have all different ways of going. Because in the sixth year of the last show, I had to fight the wheel. The car wanted to drive on up to Santa Barbara and play golf, and I had to physically restrain the car and make it drive to the studio.
Who do you play golf with most often?
With Rickles. I play with Tom Poston. I play with Jim Garner some.
Do you have... Oh, Jim Garner. Garner. Just got his
Purple Heart.
Purple Heart.
Yeah.
He got the shot in the rear end, diving into a foxhole. That's what he said.
That's his story, anyway.
Hey, you have children?
No, that's how a bullet can hit behind you, ricochet, and then.
Oh, of course, yes. Hey, you have children?
I'm in trouble with Jim Garner now.
Do you have children?
I have four.
Four?
Yeah. boy 19 going to Gonzaga. Timmy, who is with me, going to be 16.
You got to have brains to go to Gonzaga.
Well, we're going to find out.
We're
going to find
out.
End of this year, we should know.
does your wife appreciate your humor? She must. You've been married for, what, 20 years, you say?
20 years, yeah.
20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a great time.
And you go on vacation with the Rickles. You told me last time I saw you.
We went to Israel. We've gone to...
Hey, how'd you like Israel? We saw Israel in October.
Incredible. Just of all the trips we made, it was the most incredible trip.
I agree. We were there
9 days, and it went by so fast, and there's so much to see. Don's a very interesting... I don't know if we have time for
yes.
the story, but Don will admit that he doesn't always... He doesn't read a lot, I think. Maybe it's a nice way of putting it. And he kept asking these questions, and they were always wrong. You know, he was always wrong about... He said, now this is... And his wife, Barbara, gets very upset.
And he's Jewish.
Don and Barbara are Jewish.
Yeah.
And he kept asking these questions. The driver says, no.
This is in Israel.
Okay. So finally, we come out. We're staying at the King David Hotel, and we come outside, and Barbara is standing... by the car, and she said, would you please sit up front? I want Don to sit in the back so he doesn't ask any more stupid questions, because it's really embarrassing. So I said, all right. So we go to the Golan Heights, and we're driving along, and Don says, okay. He said, I know I've been wrong, but I know I'm right about this. He said, those poles were put up by the Israeli army to block the Syrian tanks so that they couldn't come down the Golan Heights and attack the area of Galilee. And our driver said, no, those poles were put up by the Israeli telephone company.
Tremendous.
Hey, then what was your impression of when you saw the Sea of Galilee?
It's incredible because you keep making the trip over and over in your mind. I mean, I
thought it was a big ocean, but it's just a big lake.
Yeah,
great big lake.
Beautiful.
I didn't know it was a freshwater lake that supplied Israel with most of its
I didn't know that either. Yeah, and being there, physically being there, you can understand how strategically important the Golan Heights are because they look right down on the Sea of Galilee, and whoever controls the Golan Heights controls an awful lot of Israel.
Right. Bob, do you think this series, The New Heart, will be as successful and last as long as your first one?
I hope so.
Why are you doing it?
I missed it. I really did. I missed
it. It's a lot of work.
It is work. Well, you think we do one every day, but it is. I mean, at that rate, in 22 days, I'd be finished for the whole year.
Right.
It's work, but it's enjoyable work. And I guess sometimes you have to get away from something to find out how much you enjoyed it. And I still have dinner with Susie and Bill and Peter and Marcia, Jack Riley, and we all agreed it was... It was fun, and when you get good writing and you get good audiences, it's fun, and that's what you do.
Just before your last show went off the air, I think you said a couple times that you were, or you said once, you were concerned that the quality of that last series was diminishing a little bit, and you wanted to go off in a blaze of glory rather than have it just die in the ratings.
Yeah, it turned out we did about 3 shows in a row in the fifth year that... I thought were subpar, and it worried me a little bit. And I made the decision then to that the sixth year would be the final year. And it turned out the quality of the writing held up. As a matter of fact, the Charles Brothers, who do Cheers, which is an excellent series on NBC, they were the writers in the final year. But it was a thoroughbred, and I don't think, if it's been good to you, I don't think you write it into the ground and just let it, you know, die of old age. I think there's a time to get off and a time to stay on.
Well, I want to thank you for visiting us again. You have a great time at the Carlton, and then you go back home, play golf some more, and do a show a day. Okay, don't miss Bob Newhart at the Carlton tonight and tomorrow night. 2 shows, 8 o'clock and 11 p.m. both nights. Tickets are still available, and the number to call is 854-9300. Do you see many movies?
You know, we don't, and we really should. I haven't seen Tootsie yet, and that's one I
saw it just the other night.
Yeah.
Jim never laughed so hard in all my life.
I hear it's incredible, yeah.
They say Dustin Hoffman is difficult to work with, too.
Is that right? What do you mean, too?
You're easy to work with.
He runs a tight set.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was terrific. You got to see Tootsie.
Oh, no.
Oh, you'll love it. Thank you, Bob.
Howard, always good to see you.
Sure, enjoyed it again. Got a call a little while ago from Joe Rick, Jordan, Minnesota. You know Joe Rick there, Jordan? Talk about signs of spring and reasons to be hopeful and jolly. He saw yesterday two woolly bear caterpillars. Yep, he did. That's a sure sign of spring. Heck, it's 2 weeks ago. A man called from, where was it? Maple Grove. Saw two robins. That, you recognize, possibly, is the theme from Tootsie. Theme from Tootsie. It's quarter to lunch. Our Twin City temperature is 35 degrees.
You can turn this world around if you help someone.
This is Metro Food Share Month in CCO Land. WCCO Radio is proud to be a co-sponsor of this outstanding community effort. Its goal, through churches and congregations in the 7-county Twin Cities area, to collect and distribute 200,000 pounds of food for the hungry poor. Here's Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Marlene Johnson.
The governor and I are particularly pleased because it really is an opportunity. It shows leadership on the part of the churches and synagogues and corporate Minnesotans. Encourage our people to participate as well.
For more information on how you can help the hungry poor through Metro Food Share, call 870-3660. A public service message from Metro Food Share and WCCO Radio.
You can turn this world around if you help someone.
Remember always that a fool and his money are soon spotted. Oh, I suppose. It is now 13 and a half till 12. Twin City temperature is 35 degrees. Swenson Furniture Store's January clearance sale was one of the most successful they've had in years. Their outlet store also has had a great sale, so successful that their stock of used living room sets has shrunk to a bare minimum. To replenish their inventory, all Swenson stores will allow a premium $100 for old living room sets and $35 for old upholstered chairs in trade for your new furniture selection. The extra trade-in allowance is for a limited time, so visit Swenson's now and select a new sofa bed, and chair from their new spring and summer arrivals. They have all the size sofas and sofa beds for homes and apartments in the newest fabrics. Visit Swenson's Furniture Stores today, Chicago and Lake, open Monday evenings, the Bloomington Store, Portland Avenue and 494 in the Village Square Shopping Center, open Monday through Thursday evenings. And if you are looking for budget or used furniture, visit Swenson's Surplus Store, 1204 East Lake Street, two blocks east of Sears, open Monday evenings. Swenson Furniture Stores are closed Sundays. They prefer to see you in church. According to our old clock on the wall now, it's 12 and a half minutes till noon. Talk about a clock. Got this from Steve Justin. A clock is something they have in an office so you can tell how late you wish you weren't in the morning, what time to go out for lunch and coffee breaks before and come back after, and how long before you can start stopping work by stalling until it is time for. Nice song about the rain by the Captain and Tennille at 8 minutes to 12.
For 20 million Americans, genital herpes is a nightmare, and it can have devastating psychological effects on those who catch it. The herpes epidemic is currently affecting the sex lives of 350,000 Minnesotans, but only one Minnesota television station had the courage and conviction to take the wraps off herpes simplex in one of the most watched and critically acclaimed news specials of the year. News Center 11. We not only cover the news, we uncover it.
You know, before television, no one ever knew what a headache looked like.
Walk through a winter wonderland of savings on America's favorite home furnishings, Ethan Allen, at Swenson's Ethan Allen Galleries. Selected groupings at 15 to 20% savings, displayed in magnificent room settings. What's more, you get personal service from Swenson's professional staff designers, right down to the final touch. Ethan Allen value to last a lifetime. Now at savings of 15 to 20% and more. It's a winter wonderland of savings, now during the winter sale at Swenson's Ethan Allen Galleries, Maplewood and Mendota Heights. Since 1901, making the finest in furniture and affordable tradition.
Tonight at 9, Tim Moreland, our sports coordinator, will have a guest with him on his sports hotline, Billy Gardner, manager of the Minnesota Twins baseball team.
There probably isn't any experience a corn farmer enjoys more than harvest. Rolling along to bring in another big, bountiful, golden crop. It's a great feeling, if things go well. But if you have to fight your way through tangled stalks and down corn because rootworms got the upper hand, well, you can avoid this frustration and keep rootworm damage from ever spoiling one of your harvests with Lorsban 15G insecticide. Lorsban 15G is the granular product that goes on at planting to do about all that can be done to keep your crop out of insect trouble. If avoiding harvest headaches sounds good to you, ask your farm chemical supplier for Lorsban 15G. Lorsban 15G. It's the rootworm insecticide that stops cutworms, too.
WCCO Radio News, Ray Christensen reporting. The toll-free hotline set up to take tips on the whereabouts of fugitive Gordon Call has not produced any solid leads yet, that according to officials with the FBI. Gordon Call is the tax protester wanted in connection with the fatal shootings of two U.S. Marshals last Sunday in North Dakota. FBI spokesman Ben Patty talked with us today from command headquarters in Jamestown.
We have had calls come in to our 800 number since this information was made public. At the present time, we hope we get more, but we haven't received anything yet that's resulted in the location of Gordon Call.
The toll-free number is 800-437-3395. If you know the whereabouts of fugitive Gordon Call, a $25,000 reward is being offered. There is a report that Call has been known to fly a small plane, even though he apparently does not have a pilot's license. Officials say there is no convoy-type search going on today, but 50 to 60 law officers are scattered gathering information. 35 degrees at 11:55.